This is More Than Conquerors with your Bible teacher, Pastor Ray Hagestilianos. As a teaching pastor for almost 30 years, Pastor Ray's heart and vision is simply to build up God's army, enabling them to stand strong in their faith. As the senior pastor at Living Word Christian Church in White Plains, New York, Pastor Ray will challenge you today to begin your walk in integrity and victory, forever changing your life as transformed by the power of God. More Than Conquerors is supported by the generous gifts of listeners like you. You can find us online by going to livingwordchurch.org.
In a loveless world filled with unlovely people, why does God tell us to walk in love? If Jesus said that the second greatest commandment is to love one's neighbor as we would love ourselves, does that mean to simply do him no harm? Or should I bless him too? How should I respond to him being unloving towards me? Is this love a mere feeling, or is it something far more? And because God has made no man perfect, might walking in love with our neighbor sometimes be a difficult thing? In Pastor Ray's brand new two-week series, Loving Your Neighbor by Walking in Love, we'll see that this walk is all about building a powerful, unselfish, God-centered relationship, especially with one's neighbor, but ultimately with God. Over these next 2 weeks, Pastor Ray will take us step by step on a lifelong journey of how best to love God, your neighbor, and yourself by simply walking in love.
So now I wanted to get back to talking about love. We kind of built this whole series of messages on Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, if you're tuning in for the first time. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says, Paul says here, he says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Faith working through love. Another version of the Bible on Galatians 5 says, "Faith expressing itself through love." So the bottom line to it, according to what we read in the scriptures, is that, you know, faith, you know, love kind of gives faith power. And it works. It's like the fuel. It's necessary. It's really important. The Bible has a whole lot to say about love, and I hope in some way that you're being challenged in your own personal love walk, because it really does need to be challenged. So today, we talked about a few things in the weeks past, and if you want to catch up on any of these sessions, teachings on a Sunday morning, just go to our website. They're all free, and you can go as far back as you want to listen to these and other messages as well. All right. So today what I wanted to do is I wanted to talk about a few things, but let's talk about love and answered prayer. How many of you are interested in getting your prayers answered? All right. You want to get your prayers answered, right? So I just want to kind of touch on this a little bit. And with that, let's go over to 1 John, the letter of 1 John, and we're going to go to chapter 3, and I'm going to start in verse 10. And so, you see, I don't know if some people really realize how much love does, or the love walk affect their prayer life. You know, and we have clear-cut scriptures here that teach us this. But let's go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. And John writing here says, "In this the children of God and the children of the devil," children of God and the children of the devil. Now that's, you know, that's pretty frightening. There is, according to the scripture, there are children of God. And basically, if you're not a child of God, what are you? There's two categories. There's not three or four or five. There's not a good person category, you know, a good dad category, a good father or mother category. There's two categories: children of God and children of the devil. So if you're not in the kingdom of God, then you're in and under the directives and the power of the kingdom of darkness. And see, when you understand it that way, now I'm just going to kind of divert a little bit as we lead into this, but that's okay, because you need this. This is why you can see a clear delineation between good and evil in the world. People that are not walking with God have a whole totally different perspective on life, on the world, on sin, on godliness, on righteousness and unrighteousness. There's a whole different mindset. And you know, we as Christians, we ought to be. See, that's why we're not supposed to, you know, have friendship with the world, because the Bible says friendship with the world is enmity with God or towards God. To be friends of the world is to say that, you know, there's no difference between the children of the devil and the children of God. But there's two categories. I once was in darkness, so were you. You were under the power and the direction of the enemy, but you got saved, and that power was broken, and you were, according to the scriptures, translated into the kingdom of his dear son. You were translated from the dominion and the power of darkness and brought into and under the dominion of Jesus Christ. That's why our lives are not ruled by the devil. Our lives are ruled by God. God is, you know, just put it this way, is in charge of our lives because we've given him charge of our lives. All right? So in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. So we're going to learn something here about how you can tell the difference between a child of God and a child of the devil. All right? So he says, now he tells you, you ready? Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. He's talking about your brother or sister in the Lord, those that are related through the blood of Jesus Christ. So he said, this is how the difference, you can tell the difference between the child of God and the child of the devil, is by two things. He says, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So now listen to the implications here, because it goes, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Then he goes into this whole thing about Cain and Abel, and we don't have to read all of that, but let's drop down to verse 16, and it says, by this we know love, because he, meaning Jesus, laid down his life for us. So Jesus, as an act of sacrifice, laid down his life for us. And the Bible says and teaches us here, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So Jesus lays down his life as an example to us as how we should be treating one another. Laying down out. That's why you see, I've said this so many times, and maybe sometimes I don't give you the scriptural reference, but you know when I say, love isn't love unless it costs you something? Here's the evidence. Here's the scriptural proof. Love is not really truly love unless it costs you something. There's some sacrifice involved in it. Otherwise, it's just lip service. Otherwise, it's just empty words. All right? So, we know, this is how we know what love is, because true love is just like the way Jesus exemplified it or showed it. He was willing to actually give his life for us. And the Bible tells us, and we ought to also lay down our lives for our brothers. And that means that we ought to be willing to sacrifice for one another, to do whatever it takes to be a blessing to one another, to not only love each other with words, but to love each other and to show and express that love with true sincerity of heart and empathy and be there when we need each other and to express that love in all kinds of ways as the Holy Spirit leads you. So we ought to also lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, he goes on to say, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? How can we just walk by someone in need that we know and just not do anything about it and think that somehow we are expressing love? We're not. We're not. Now, you know, the flip side of that is that everybody, I'm sure there are people sitting here who say, well, I'm needy, so you need to express love to me and meet my needs. But that's not what this means. You see, you have as much a responsibility to express love towards your brothers by not putting anybody in a situation where they would feel pressured. So he says, lay down his lives. We ought to lay down our lives for the brother. And whoever has this world's needs or has this world's goods and sees somebody in need and shuts his own heart, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So there it is again. Love has to be backed up with some sort of action. Otherwise, it's not truly love, right? So he goes, and this we know, that we are of the truth, and we shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. If our heart does not condemn us because we're not loving and walking in the love that we ought to be walking with each other and expressing toward one another, our heart does not condemn us. If we're walking in love and we're walking the way we should be, our heart will not condemn us. Our heart will be clean and will be free of any condemnation. He said, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. See, when we're walking right before God, righteously before God, when we're doing the two things that he said right here, is to walk righteously and to love your brother and follow the example of Jesus, when we do that, the Bible says that we have confidence towards God. Would you all agree with me? When we're walking right, God doesn't change. God is faithful. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing ever changes in the mind of God. But sometimes we don't feel as confident before God. Why? Because sometimes we're not walking righteously, and maybe we're not walking the love walk to the level or to the degree that we should be. Thank you for that weak amen. But we really got to face this, because the world is looking for a real true example of love. There's so much unloveliness in the world. There's so much hatred. Look at what's going on all around the world today. Wars, and just like Jesus said, wars and rumors of wars, and nations are rising up against nations, and nobody can seem to get it under control. But we as believers need to rise above this. We need to get our lives in line with what God would desire from us. So he said, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. We're walking right. We're walking the love walk. This is why, and you'll see here in a minute, why your prayer and your love walk are really tied together. You walk the love walk, you have a clear heart, you've got confidence towards God. And verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Let's just dwell on verse 22 for a minute. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And listen to what he said in verse 23. And this is the commandment. So if you want to know about getting your prayers answered, then pay attention to what he's saying. He said, because these are the commandments that God is most concerned about. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. To love Jesus and to love one another is to fulfill the commandment that keeps our heart from being condemned and gives us full confidence before God in faith that our prayers should be answered. Because our faith will be strong. Are you getting what I'm saying here today? Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is why it's so important for us to walk in love. Now, I'll take you to another verse, and we can look at it, or you can just write it down. But in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 25, how many of you know Mark's Gospel, chapter 11? One of my very, very favorite portions of Scripture. It says, you know, have faith in God. If anyone says to this mountain, says to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes the things that he says, he will have whatever he says, right? You remember that? Well, that's verse 11, 22, 23, and 24. Talking about prayer, right? Yes. Talking about prayer. But verse 25, he says, and when you stand praying, if you have aught or something against someone, forgive him. Get rid of it. Get your love walk back. so that you will be forgiven by your Father in heaven. So again, we see that whole idea of, you know, in this case it's forgiveness, but really to be in unforgiveness is to be out of the love walk. To hold unforgiveness towards someone is to really not be walking in love towards that person. So again, you can see how love and your prayer life are connected in some way. That God says, listen, when you stand praying, you got anything against anybody, get rid of it. And you want to walk in love with everybody because you don't want it to hinder your prayer life. Amen. You don't want unforgiveness and bitterness and envy and jealousy and all of these kinds of things get into your heart and get into your life, causing you to walk outside of the love walk. Because remember what the standard of the love walk is that we're to lay down our lives for our brothers. Just like Jesus laid down his life, we're to sacrifice for each other, just like Jesus sacrificed for us. We're called to that level of sacrifice. That means that I'm not too big, you know, or too important, or too whatever, to not reach out and to help and to clean up somebody's mess if they need help cleaning up their mess, or they need something. I'm not big enough, or, you know, this enough or that enough to not be willing to sacrifice my time and my energy and my effort for somebody else who is called my brother or my sister in the Lord. This is how we are to walk this love walk. And again, as far as it has to do with your prayers being answered, he said, you know, don't let your heart condemn you because you're not walking in love. And when your heart doesn't condemn you have confidence towards God. And then you know that anything you ask, God's going to deliver it. He's going to give it to you. You know, whatever we ask, we receive because we keep his commandments. And these are his commandments, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to love one another just as he has given us commandment. And this is one of the things that we really need to, I believe, really need to work on in the body of Christ, is that we got to really understand what the love walk is. It's not just saying, I love you. People, you see, this is the problem, I think, is that people are more driven by emotion and feelings than they are by faith and by the convictions of their heart. There's a big difference. When you say you love somebody, there's a commitment that goes with that. And it can't just be a feeling, because feelings change. There's a lot of people that I love, but my feelings sometimes go up and down. No, it's true, because I love them, I really love them, but sometimes they tick me off. Sometimes they make me mad. Sometimes I don't like the way they act. Sometimes I don't like some of the things they do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes they disappoint me. So feelings go like this, but if you are truly walking the love walk, you're sacrificing your feelings at the sacrificial table of the Lord, and you're saying, you know what, Lord, forgive me for even thinking that way about that person. I know they made me mad, but, you know, Lord, I've just forgive them. I don't want to walk out of love. I want to just, I forgive them. And then, you know what I do to myself sometimes? I say, you know, I've done the same stupid things. I've disappointed people. I've said things I shouldn't have said. Come on, how many of you have done the same thing? You're all looking so holy this morning. You know it. You've done the same kind of things. The things that we fault others for and with, we ourselves have done. We are just as guilty as they are. The only thing, we have a whole lot more grace towards ourselves than we do towards others. We find it so much easier to forgive ourselves than we do to forgive others. Amen. I'm just saying, right? So we wonder sometimes why maybe our prayers aren't getting answered. Well, maybe there's a connection between your love walk and your prayers getting answered, you know? Like, if you got some unforgiveness, get rid of it. You say, but, you know, Pastor Ray, I just can't forgive that person. See, you're back to feelings again. Because you're feeling unforgiveness and you're holding on to the feeling of unforgiveness. Do you know that you can forgive people by faith? Just like you do everything else by faith? So what do? Well, you say, Lord, I forgive them. And I did this for a while. I say, Lord, I forgive them, you know, on the outside with these words, but on the inside, I still hate them. What are you laughing for? You've done the same stupid thing. You're laughing at me. You do the same thing. I'm saying it on the outside, but inside I ain't feeling it. It just ain't jiving. It's just the feeling is not there. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about, right? Now, I want to get down and pray, you know, because I have some need or whatever, and I'm going to prayer like that when I've got some sort of unforgiveness in my heart. So this is what you do by faith. So you say it, you make a declaration. I forgive so-and-so. I forgive them. Now, you may not feel it. You may, even as you're saying it, you want to bite your tongue, swallow the words, put them back, cancel them out. You know what I'm talking about. You're saying it, but you're not feeling it. Well, you have to separate your faith from your feelings. So you start in the flesh, and you will end up in the spirit. Right? You put your flesh forward. So you just say, I forgive so-and-so. And I did that because I had a lot of forgiving to do over the years. You know, people disappoint, whatever. I've forgiven. Man, just the words are like, oh. How am I going? Lord, I'm saying this, but I don't even really mean it. I'm just saying. But I really wanted to forgive because I don't want it to mess up my prayer life. I don't want it to mess up my love walk. I don't want it to mess up my walk with God. So I had to just say it. And I said, Lord, not then what I did is I forgive them. Then I started to pray blessings over them. I wanted to throw stones at them, but I prayed blessings over them. Yeah, I wanted to stone them, but I prayed blessings instead over them. Try it sometimes. Oh boy, the peace that just flooded my soul. The weight that was just lifted off my shoulders. You know, little by little, just saying it, because there are some hurts are deeper than others, and some hurts are harder to get over than others. And you just got to stay with it. And you got to separate the feelings from the faith. And you just got to say, by faith, God, right now, I don't feel it, but by faith, God, I want to do what's right. I want to walk the love walk. I don't want to walk in hatred. I don't want to walk in anger. I don't want to be upset every day of my life. So by faith, I release them. By faith, I forgive them. I forgive them, God. Help me with my feelings. I forgive them, but help me with the feelings. And then just start praying blessings. Bless their family. Bless their marriage. Bless their kids. Bless their finances. Bless, bless, bless them. Give them good health, long life. May they, whatever, just pray for them. It doesn't mean that you're, you know, again, you're going to be best friends with them. Like, there are a lot of people who I love and I've forgiven over the years, but relationships never ever got restored. But I won't speak a cross word about them. I won't speak an ugly word about them. I won't speak any word about them, to be honest with you, because I've forgiven them. So what's the sense? You see? But there are so many Christians that are bound up in this area, and we wonder why our prayer life sometimes is hindered, because we're in violation of the scripture. He said, this is the confidence, right? This is the confidence that we ought to have. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment. And this is his commandment. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love each other as he gave us commandment.
Tune in again Monday afternoon at 2 for More Than Conquerors. If today's message was a blessing to you, ask for your free CD of the broadcast for a gift of any amount to help support this radio ministry. Just mail your request with your check to More Than Conquerors, or MTC, P.O. Box 8187, White Plains, New York, 10602. Be sure to include the date of the message you're requesting. If ordering a complete Bible study series, a minimum love offering of $20 is appreciated. Identify the series and include the word series in your order. If you missed any of the hundreds of inspiring, life-changing Bible study messages of encouragement taught by Pastor Ray on this More Than Conquerors radio station, such as those on salvation, healing, miracles, faith, forgiveness, and many more, podcast downloads of all these programs are yours free of charge by simply going to PastorRayNY.com or WMCA.com and clicking on Podcasts. That's podcasts at either PastorRayNY.com or WMCA.com. Thank you for listening to and supporting this ministry of God-centered lessons of integrity and victory from the Word of God, and being ever mindful that, as life's challenges come, God's Word is truth and will always impact our lives in a positive way in making us more than conquerors.